Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Coach Speak. I'm Matt Seidel, along with fellow hosts Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Derek, Josh, welcome back to the pod. How are things going?
Oh, man, I'm exhausted. It's funny, being away from the classroom since March makes you forget how much effort it takes to get through a week of school. And there was only 3 half days with kids and 2 PD days. But yeah, it was good. I was a little nervous about how things were going to go with all the masks and the cleaning and everything. But I think our administration's been working their butt off, and there's going to be bumps in the road. And but I think overall the kids have been good. They've enjoyed being back. It's good to kind of get back to a little bit of normalcy, even though it's different than it's been. But
Josh, how about you?
Yeah, I was going to say, hey, Derek, give it 20 years, then tell me when you're tired, okay, buddy? So, I would – the same thing. We did not go back face-to-face this week, but I went through 36 hours of Zoom this week through professional development. And, yeah, I would trade you. I'd much rather be face-to-face. I don't want to look at a computer screen this weekend, and I don't think I will.
Mm. Well, hey, I feel for both of you, but anyway, so, moving on, we're looking forward to today's show, which includes an interview with Arbor Prep phenom Maya Petticord, a major college talent who has multiple Power 5 conference offers, despite being only a junior. Should be fun getting to know her a little bit better. It also got me thinking, you know, we seem to have a real influx of top-notch girls talent in the area right now. I mean, I can think of, I guess, 5 D1 players just off the top of my head. Senior Alice Stemmer from Saline, who we had on the show, is heading to Lehigh. Senior Caprice Augustine from Ypsilanti has committed to Nebraska Omaha. Senior Bree Salenbein from Lenawee Christian is on her way to Gonzaga. And then we have juniors like Alexis Bargesser from Grass Lake, along with Petticord, who are being recruited by some of the best universities in the country. And there may be more, too, that I'm just not aware of or just can't think of right now. But that leads me to my question of the day for you two. And it's this. And for a couple of boys coaches, even though, Josh, I know you coach girls for a time period and had some success at Ypsilanti back in the day. But who is the best female high school basketball player that you've seen play in person?
So this is tough for me to answer because, you know, full disclosure, I absolutely loved my time as a girls basketball coach at Ypsilanti. And my wife and I, when we were talking about the upcoming podcast, we were talking about at our wedding, I was still the varsity girls basketball coach at Ypsilanti. And my entire team attended my wedding. And I am still close with a lot of those girls today through social media and when I run into them coaching and things like that. And just a phenomenal group of young women. And they've gone on to be very successful at a lot of different things in life. But I, you know, that being said, I've probably watched 10 girls basketball games since then. And so, you know, I would say I had a chance to see Tabitha Poole play a little bit. I had a chance to see Mackenzie Kudron from New Boston Huron play a little. Lindsay Lammers from Milan was like our version of Steph Curry back then and things like that. But I would say Ariel Powers from Country Day was the best girls basketball player I have ever seen play in person. And again, I only saw her play once, but you know, I've followed her career through Michigan State, the WNBA. She was probably the best. So I guess I don't have a great answer because I mean, let's be honest, if we have an off night, we're scouting or, you know, spending time with family. So I guess instead I feel it's important because I coach girls basketball. I'm going to give you my favorite girls basketball player to ever watch. And that was Tanae Robinson. I was able to coach her for 2 years at Ypsilanti. Tanae was an all-state track athlete, a phenomenal high school girls basketball player. She's one of the best athletes I've ever coached, period, boys or girls. Just incredible family, incredible kid, competitor, all those things. So I'm going to change your question a little bit just because I haven't seen enough girls basketball, and I'm going to go with my favorite player, and that's Tanae Robinson.
That's good stuff. You might want to pay attention to the game that goes on before yours sometimes on Friday nights during those varsity girls boys doubleheaders instead of, you know, glad hadn't with everybody well, in the gym. But other than that, I think you did a nice job with that question.
Well, if Chelsea didn't play in the SEC where they won every game by 40, I might do that. But
that's
you know,
good point. That's a good point. Yeah. So, Derek, what about you?
I can kind of relate to what Josh is saying. I mean, when you brought this up to me, I go back and think it's like, I really haven't watched as much girls basketball just because, you know, as a player, we rarely had the girls play at the same site as us. We usually were at opposite sites. But, I did get to see those Dexter teams when I was there, and they were very good teams. They even had the trip to the Final Four in 2013, but they really were more of a well-balanced team. They didn't really have one standout. Coach Bavanaugh and Coach Thompson really – you know, they've had that program going well for a while. And, you know, some of the girls there, you know, with Kenzie Sfera and Emma Kill, those were the two of the group that made the finals. I mean, there was a few before that and a few since then that have been good. I think my year at Chelsea, again, I while Trope is doing whatever, getting himself ready for the game, I did occasionally watch the Chelsea girls play, and they had some really good players out there. But I guess the one that I would go with is a girl from Springport. So this past year, we played all of our league games. They're always boys, girls, doubleheaders. A girl by the name of Alana Nelson, who just graduated from Springport, played 4 years of varsity, basically set every record in the book, scoring, rebounding, and everything. She's a post player for the most part, but had some good handles so she could step out and do some things on the perimeter. She could shoot the three. She just, I mean, could score 30 anytime she wanted. And again, they were blowing a lot of teams out. And they're a really good team. They had a couple really big wins. Her junior year, I know they made it to the regional final and had a classic game with Michigan
State. Derek, where's she going to school next year? Do you know?
Yeah, she's going to Northwood University. Okay. She committed there early. And I actually had her in class. She was in my personal finance class. And she just was, well, you could just tell, like, she's one of the leaders of the entire senior class in the school. She was the one who runs the pep assembly. She's well-respected and well-viewed in the community and in the school, and I think she'll have a really successful career at Northwood. She actually is another Michigan premier girl. She played with, shocker. I think she played with a lot of the girls on that open gold team in AAU, so that's who I would say is the best.
Derek, I got to ask you two questions, though. One, be honest, did the girls outdraw you for fans and those doubleheaders?
there was times. It wasn't as bad as when I was at Lawrence Tech. Lawrence Tech, the girls would draw three times as many fans as we would. It was usually pretty even at Springport, okay. I think.
All right. And then my other question is, so you just referenced Dexter's run to the Final Four in girls basketball. Is that the same coach that they ended up running out of there because he didn't know what he was doing? Is that the same coach took them to the Final Four that got ran out by their parents? Is that right?
Oh, man.
Way to stir the pot here, Josh. Nice job with that one. So, hey, I'm gonna touch you on a few girls here. You know, that we've had actually two Miss Basketballs in the, I guess, in somewhat Ann Arbor area. I mean, Tabitha Poole from Huron, and who played at Michigan, was Miss Basketball in 2000. I never saw her play, but I know she must have been pretty good. Dina Head from Plymouth Salem went to Tennessee and was Miss Basketball in 1987. Again, never saw her play. She was a WNBA player as well. There's a couple I want to mention before I actually get to who I think might be the best player in the area of all time. But Daphne Smith, a Willow Run player back in the 80s, and she went to the University of Detroit. She ended up coaching at Willow Run, and I actually got to know her fairly well. She died way too early, by the way, just kind of really a sad thing. But this, she was the first really good female basketball player that I ever saw, and I just couldn't believe. I mean, she basically played like a boy and could play with the boys at Willow Run, and that's saying something. She was outstanding. There's another one, Josh, you might have heard of her since she went to your school, and that's Julie Howell from South Florida.
Oh, Julie and Paige were amazing.
The Howell sisters. Yeah. So I got to cover those good South Lyon teams of the mid-1980s. I was working at the South Lyon Herald in the Milford Times. Julie ended up going to Miami of Ohio. She's a Hall of Famer at Miami of Ohio. She scored over 1,000 points, a post player, really, really good high school player. But And those two would be my honorable mention. The best one that I've ever seen is one I happened to coach, and that's Nicole Cushing from Pinckney. She played 4 years for me at Pinckney. Would have been the 91, 92, 93, 94 season. So she would have graduated in 95. She was a freak. I mean, she was 6 foot one, you know, built well. And she was a sprinter and a shot putter on the track team. She threw the shot and discus and ran sprints. And that tells you what kind of athlete she was, on top of being just a phenomenal basketball player. The most dominant power player I've seen in high school. You know, she could run, she could jump, she could score. She basically could, you know, with our schedule, she could have scored. She could have averaged 40 if I wanted her to. There's so many games where she only played about half the time. She went to Michigan State. She was a freshman of the year. She played there her sophomore year and was dominating again. Went to the NCAA tournament twice. She got married in the middle of her sophomore year and quit basketball. Never played again. Clearly was built and made for the WNBA, but her choice in life was something different, and she left Langland over there at Michigan State, and Sue Guevara was, I think, assistant at the time over there. But yeah, she was as dominant, I think, as any high school player in the Ann Arbor area. And that was 25 years ago when she graduated. But she, even though the game's being played differently right now, she would have no problem dominating today's game as well.
I remember her because that was my era in high school. And I remember, she was incredible, the stats and things like that. And, you know, one I think we forgot that you just made me think of is, and I only saw her play in college, but she was incredible in college, is the Chelsea legend, Allie Mant. I mean, she went to Bowling Green, and she was an all-league, played in Europe. She's got to be in the discussion for one of the best players ever in the area as well.
Right, and Chelsea's obviously had success over and over and over. But, you know, going back to the earlier point, though, about all these girls, all this girls' talent currently in the area, I mean, why do we think that is? I mean, is it better coaching these days, more opportunities for girls to get better and gain exposure than – maybe there was, you know, 20 years ago or something? Or is it just a random run on talent? I mean, you guys got any thoughts on that?
I got one thing real quick before that. Let me clarify. How many districts did you win with Nicole Cushing on your team in high school?
I'm having some technical difficulties.
Wait, I want to hear this too. Wait a minute. I want to hear this. Yeah.
best player in the area. How many districts?
Let me, do you want that?
You couldn't beat Brighton, could you? You couldn't beat Brighton.
We were 20-0. Let me tell you the quick story. We were 20-0, and Brighton was 19-1. Their only loss was to us, and we played them in the semifinals of the district at Milford. We led 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, and I got a technical foul early in the second quarter, and that's how they scored their first points of the game. They beat us. They beat us at the end. They hung on to beat us. They ended up losing to Howell in the district final that year.
And they were good
Howell had like three losses that year, one to us and maybe two to Brighton in the regular season. It was a crazy district. But yeah, we found a way to not win a district with Nicole, which was amazing. And Nicole was not always healthy at the time of the district, so I'm going to throw that out there. But we never got it done. We were in position multiple times and never finished the deal. And thanks, Derek, for bringing that up. I really appreciate it. So
I love that he brought that up because I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm all right. The gloves are off now. The gloves are off.
Dan Young though mentioned this. The another perfect reason to seed regionals right there. You would at least made it like a regional semi or regional final.
Yeah, we were a threat. I mean, we were a top 10 team in the state when she was a sophomore. That's the year I'm talking about, 1992. We had a lot of other good players, Jill Heider, and I mean, I can go right down the road. There's some other ones that year. But we got nipped by them, and one of us had to go, or one of us three had to go, you know, or two of three had to go in that district, and it happened, unfortunately for us. So
going back to your question, I really think it's the kind of real influx of AAU opportunities in the area. I think it's really helping. And I think, you know, it's not as widespread maybe as the boys game around the state in terms of how many programs there are. And like now we've got some really good programs in the area. That's the one thing I could point to. But maybe it is just random chance because, yeah, it is wild that we've got so many D1 players and like really, really high end yep. D1 players in the area right now.
You know, I was going to ask you, Matt, maybe this will help me answer the question. You talked about Nicole. Did she play AAU back then?
Yeah, she did. And it wasn't the norm back then. I saw an ad in a newspaper and called the guy and asked him if he, you know, if he was looking for a player. And I kind of explained to him who Nicole was. And I don't think he really took me seriously. Here's Pinckney High School. Where's Pinckney? He probably didn't even know where it was. But once he got to see her play, she became his girl for a long time, and he rode that program. But that's how she did it. And that's where she got me. I was getting calls from Muff McGraw. I mean, you name it. Every major college in this area was calling me on a regular basis about Nicole. But she got that exposure through AAU without question. But it was not to the extent that you see AAU basketball right now.
Right. And I don't know. I don't have a great answer. I think if I had to take a guess, it would be that, sadly, for the wrong reasons, but it's benefited girls. But I think that the people realize they can make a lot of money off hosting girls basketball tournaments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to have Wilkins on, you know, in a couple weeks here or maybe even next week and talk about the LBI. And what he does is a lot of great things for girls basketball players. But, you know, it's still business. And I think what people have realized is that there's a need for that, especially in the last 5 to 10 years. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I just think girls are getting so much more exposure than they did when, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I think there's probably a lot of talent out there then, right. Just a lot harder to find it.
Yep. That makes sense. And speaking of talent, let's move on. Let's get to our special guest. We are now joined on Coach Speak by Maya Petticord, a 5'9" junior guard from Arbor Prep High School in Ypsilanti. Maya, just 16 years old, is a major college prospect with close to 20 Division I offers. She is a 2-time Associated Press first team All-Stater. And last season, she averaged 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals for the 19-5 Gators. Maya, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
How'd your workout go today?
My coach kind of went hard on me today. I got a lot of shots up today. Yeah, I had conditioning yesterday, but I did a lot of, you know, running and shooting and coming off screens today, but it was a good workout.
Very good. Actually, I kind of want to start with your workout regimen a little bit. You know, instead of playing AAU basketball this summer with the Storm, you've been working out with your trainer, Arthur Canada, better known as A-Dub.
Yep.
For those who may not know, he's the former Detroit Pershing coach who has been training young players in Detroit for years and also trains college and NBA guys. Can you tell us kind of why Coach Canada is a good fit for you and how he's helped you as a player?
Well, first, he's like family to me, and that's what it's all about for me. But yeah, he's like a different level. Like, he takes skill level on a different level.
Yep.
And I just feel like me as a player, I've improved my skill since I worked out with him when I was 8 years old. Well, 7 or 8 years old, I've been working out with him, and I've seen a difference in everything with me. But yeah, every day, well, every time we work out, it's just something new. Yeah, it's just something interesting every time we work out. But he also gets on me a lot, so he's not one of them. He's not one of them trainers that just take it easy. Right. He actually pushes me because he knows my potential.
And what's a typical workout for you? Like, what did you guys do today, and how long did you go?
Well, today, since I had to, you know, do the interview, we did like an hour. Yeah, like an hour workout.
Okay,
but. Yeah, I just, like I said, we did a lot of shots today because, you know, I took a 2-week break, you know, getting my body right or whatever. But, yeah, I had to get my shot back right and back in rhythm. But
I feel bad. We cut into your workout time a little bit. I feel bad about that. But anyway, maybe I saved you. I saved you from them. So, I'm curious, since you didn't play really with your AAU team since March, have you had a chance to play much 5-on-5?
Oh, well, I haven't, you know, played any like real games yet, but I've been scrimmaging with the boys that's, you know, training up where I train at. Okay. It's a lot of, you know, D1 boys up there training with us, so I just hop in and play with them sometimes. Nice. The girls up there, I play with them. We used to play, you know, 3-on-3, 4-on-4, 5-on-5 sometimes. But, yeah, I've been getting 5-on-5 or 4-on-4 in every now and then.
Yeah, I was just curious since the team stuff is kind of on hold right now. But, you know, we've heard others and how they've described you as a player, and obviously people like what they see based on the number of offers you've gotten. But I'm kind of curious, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Well, I'll say I'm a – what would I describe? That's a good question. I'd say they can call me, like, you know, shifty, but I'll say I'm like an all-around player. So if you – I could play with anybody. So if you put me on any team, I'll be able to fit in.
You're saying you're not just a ball handler, you're not just a shooter, you're not just this, but you've got to – yeah.
I'm a team player. I could, you know, pass, shoot, handle, rebound. But, like, I'm a fun type of player. But it's just
– I got you.
You know, I'm competitive also.
I got you. And that's that's really what your coach Coach Stein, when I talked to him about you, he said you were very humble and you were going to have a hard time talking about yourself in glowing terms. But he said this about you, and he goes – a couple things that sunk in. He goes, in terms of basketball, no one puts in more hours and that you're constantly working. And he also said, she can shoot off the dribble better than any high school kid I've ever seen. that's quite a compliment because I know he's seen some good players. So anyway, the sound of things, basketball has obviously been a huge part of your life, and you've been working on your game for quite some time. But what is your earliest basketball memory, and what made you fall in love with the game?
Well, when I was younger, I played with a lot of boys, but yeah, I actually started playing with boys before girls. That's you know, that's where I get my toughness and all of that from. But I say I was around seven. Seven. I played on a boys team at Adam Butzel. And
yeah,
I shot a game winner in a corner with the boys. And, you know, I was the only girl on the team, obviously. But that's when, you know, that's when I, you know, found out, like, I really liked this game. And, you know, I was in, like, second grade, and my dad always picked me up from, like, tutoring or after school and dropped me off at workouts or he worked me out. But that's when I – you know, fell in love with the game. Just the grind since day one.
It's amazing what a game winner will do for you too when you're a young kid. You're never gonna forget that even when you're my age. So that's pretty cool. But now you live in Detroit and you actually played middle school ball there. But what I guess what attracted you and your family to Arbor Prep in Ypsilanti?
Well, we went to one of the games and we really like how they play, and especially I love the coaching staff.
Right.
The coaching staff, Coach Wells, Coach Smiley, you know, Coach Stein, they're all good guys. And my trainer and my dad, you know, talked about me, you know, going to Arbor Prep, obviously. And they just wanted me to basically be myself at that school. And you know, me going to another school, they didn't think that was the right choice for me. They were just trying to, you know, help me out. And
I do have kind of a follow up. Like, so you guys are, have you started school yet, or are you guys?
Nah.
You have started?
We haven't. We start September 8th.
Is it going to be face to face or going to be virtual?
It's going to be both. We're going to have like one day a week.
Okay.
Yeah, one day a week of school, and the rest is virtual.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious because it seems like depending on what district you're in, it changes. So, all right, I got another one for you. You definitely have some things in common with another high-profile class of 2022 player who attends school in Ypsilanti, and that would be a guy by the name of Imani Bates. So I'm just curious, do you know him at all?
Yeah, we text every now and then.
All right.
He kind of big time.
He is big time. And you're getting there too, if you haven't noticed. But you know, if what type of interactions do you have with him, and what do you think of his game?
Well, every time, you know, we text, I check on him every now and then. I watched some games last year and freshman year, but, you know, he's good. I'll just say, yeah, he definitely earned the credit of all his credits, and, you know, I respect him. He's my guy.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Now, I gotta ask you this, because I haven't really seen you play this much. But Imani, who is an outstanding player, he tends to posture a little bit when he's on the floor, and maybe sometimes even talk a little bit. Is that part of your game, or is that not something you worry about?
No, I really don't talk as much in games. I'm really just a quiet killer.
All right, that's good. I was just curious. So
yeah, I talk a little bit. It probably just like a little get that out of here, but I really don't. You know, talk that much.
Nothing wrong with that. So we understand the guys on the podcast, even though I'm doing the interview right now, that we might be the only people around who call you Maya. Others from what we hear call you Money. Can you tell us how that nickname came about?
Well, actually, my trainer, when I was about in sixth or seventh grade. He just said like money make the world go around. So anything can happen, you know, anything can happen when I'm on the court, basically. So yeah, that's basically where this name come from, and you know, how I play, and yeah.
Your mom and dad and siblings, do they call you Maya, or do they call you Money?
They mostly call me Money.
Right?
Okay. Right. Every time they call me Maya, I feel like I'm getting in trouble.
Yeah, it's probably true. So hey, let's talk about the recruiting process a little bit. So you have several offers from Power 5 conference schools, most recently from what I read, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan and Michigan State have offered as well. And heck, you were getting D1 offers according to Coach Stein before you even stepped a foot into high school. So that said, I guess we want to know a little bit about how all this works. And college coaches were able to start contacting you directly on June 15th, right?
Yep.
Okay. Now, who was the last school to contact you directly?
Georgia Tech.
Okay. And can you kind of share, I mean, you don't have to give us specifics, but can you kind of talk to us, like, what is a typical phone conversation like? I mean, what are the things you guys talk about or text about?
They just basically asked me, like, what do I like to do outside of basketball? Where do I get, you know, playing basketball from? What else? They'll ask me, like, what I've been doing over the summer.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking to head coaches mainly, assistant coaches, or both?
It's both.
Okay.
It's both.
All right.
Yep.
Now, is it mainly phone calls and texts, or are you guys like doing Zoom sessions as well and things like that?
It's both.
Okay, it's a both. Little bit everywhere. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Just. I mean, obviously, it's gonna become. It's already become a big part of your life, and it's only going to become bigger, I imagine. So, I mean, you obviously have a lot of time to make a decision. But what are you looking for in a college program?
I just say. I like freedom. So I just want a environment that basically, you know, let me be free. When I say that, I just say I really don't like coaches that basically run plays every time around the court, well, every time down the court, every possession. I just want a coach that just, like, basically trusts me in my game and basically, you know, basically have like a family relationship with them. It doesn't have to be on the court. It can be outside the court. A coach that just always push me. You know, I like to be challenged. So it doesn't even have to be about basketball. It could be about anything. But I just like coaches that challenge me. And, you know, I'm a point guard, so I got to have the hardest.
Right.
And exactly. But
how about that? How about that? How about academically in your college? That's great about basketball, and that seems to be the way the game's going anyway. But academically, do you have any idea? You're only 16, but do you have any idea what you'd like to study at this point?
No, I really haven't figured it out yet.
Okay.
But I'm going to start, obviously, you know, getting to that later on. But, you know, right now I'm just really not, you know, focused on that right now.
Do you have a preference of where you want to go in the United States? You want to stay in the Midwest where the winters are rough, or do you want to go south or west where it's a little warmer? What are you thinking there?
Nah, it really doesn't matter. Okay. You know, it's just wherever I go. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, okay. Just curious. So, you know, and let me ask you this. So most basketball players and coaches, for that matter, they really don't want to think about this, but there is a growing possibility that high school basketball may not happen this winter due to COVID-19. I hate to say it, but what are your thoughts about that? And if the season does get canceled for some reason, have you and your family talked about a backup plan?
Nah, but, you know, I'm always keep positive vibes, and, you know, I hope we have, you know, a season, but it's very unfortunate if we don't, but, yeah, we just hoping.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just, you know, all over the place, so we don't know what can happen right now, but as of now, if we don't, you know, I'm just going to be in the gym, you know, all I could do is get better.
Yep, so, I hear you. And you've got resources for that, so that's kind of nice for you. But your parents are Stan Allen and Chanel Petticord Allen. Can you tell us a little bit about the type of influence that they've had on you, both as a person and a player?
As a person and a player, they're very supportive. They push me. You know, my mom, she's been there ever since, you know, the day one, basically. And, you know, she still get on me about, you know, my chores and all of that. And just, like, she talks about me about life. You know, she really doesn't talk to me about, you know, the basketball stuff. But she helps me a lot with life. And, you know, we just have random conversations about anything. But she helps me, you know, get focused, dealing, you know, with health, just being aware of, you know, my surroundings and everything. But I say, yeah, she's you know, number one. Yep. And, you know, I'm always, you know, have her back. And my dad, you know, he's you know, my coach dad everywhere. But he you know, he been there ever since day one too. So he got me into basketball. It's the reason why I'm a player right now, him and my trainer.
Yep.
But yeah, he helps me. He helps me with everything, I say. He with school, life, you know, sports, obviously.
When you're playing, do your parents get stressed out, or do they take it? Are they pretty calm about it?
Well, when I was playing AAU, the schedule was tough sometimes, but like my mom would like complain about, you know, traveling sometimes. But you know, my dad, he just say, why are we playing so many games in one day and stuff? But they get over it.
Yeah, I'm just curious. So you mentioned this earlier. So what, you know, obviously basketball, I mean, you got a personal trainer, you've got a high school team, you're a Division I recruit, so you're putting in a lot of time, you've got your school, but what are the things you like to do outside of basketball to entertain yourself and keep the world revolving properly?
Well, I like to, you know, watch Netflix. I really like to chill, basically. Mm-hmm. I really don't, you know, go out a lot, but I like to hang with my friends, family, you know, go shopping. But yeah, just basically, you know,
typical 16-year-old.
Just being chill.
I gotta ask you this though, because you didn't bring up music, but I gotta bring up music. So I'm looking at your Twitter feed when I'm trying to learn a little bit more about you before we made contact. And there's a highlight video after your freshman year. And the music in the video is Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight, which is a song. Heck, that song came out during my high school senior year. So
Oh, yeah.
was that your choice, or was that somebody else's choice?
That was my storm coach. It was Coach Jeff. He made that highlight tape for me, and he, you know, put that music in the background.
Oh, I love Coach Taylor already, and I don't even know him. That is a great song. It would have been a better story had you picked it, but I was just curious about it. So.
Nah.
So what type of music do you listen to?
I listen to a lot of rap. I listen to a lot of different music, but, you know, favorite rapper I say is NBA YoungBoy and Lil Baby. What else? Lil Durk. Yeah.
You know I'm gonna have to look. I'm gonna have to look all these up after the interview. I have no idea what you're talking about. But I appreciate.
I got a whole list of favorite rappers right now. But
I got
you. Yeah, I do listen to all types of different music.
Do you have a favorite NBA or WNBA player that you want to share?
Favorite NBA player. That's a good question. It used to be Kyrie Irving. I think he probably still is. But I just say Kyrie Irving for now because I can't think of anybody right now.
Well, yeah, that's actually kind of timely because, I mean, you think about it, he actually had an idea what was going on before they ever went into the bubble. But I want to, you know, kind of change the tone here a little bit. I mean, we're a tough time in our country right now, partly because of the pandemic, but also because of the unrest regarding, you know, social injustice and, you know, what we're experiencing right now with Black Lives Matter movement, the national protest, professional athletes using their stage to bring awareness, et cetera. It's both significant and historic, and you're living right through it. So I'm kind of curious, how are you handling all of that that's going on, especially what happened in the last day or two? And do you have an opinion on what's going on that you'd like to share?
I try to stay away from, you know, all the stuff that's going on. I just really trying to focus on, you know, what I can control, basically. But I just say, you know, I just been trying to stay away from social media, to be honest, because, you know, social media is making everything worse, I'll say. And I've been logging out a lot, you know, going MIA to, you know, distance myself from all the negative energy. But of course, like I say, it's definitely everything that's going on is bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm definitely still aware of the things. I know what's going on, but I really just try to, you know, go on the bright side, basically.
When you're hanging out with your friends, whether they're your teammates or just your general friends, does this stuff come up at all in conversation, or you guys just kind of try to avoid it a little bit?
Yeah, we just really try to avoid it a little bit, you know, because, I mean, it's college coach, you know, talking about it to me. But, you know, I just try to, you know, keep my head straight forward and, you know, stay focused. Right.
I got you. Okay. Well, hey, Money, and I see I just called you Money, and I didn't call you Maya. We really appreciate you taking time out to talk with us today. We want to wish you good luck with your workouts and the start of your school year, and make sure you have fun with the recruiting process because not everyone gets to experience what you're going through right now. So anyway, again, we want to thank you and wish you well and take care.
For sure. Thank you. And I also want to thank, you know, Coach Stein and all, you know, the AP staff, all my coaches and all my support system. For other opportunities I have right now. But yeah, that's all I have to say.
I got you. Okay. I appreciate that.
All right.
Good deal, Maya. Take care. We'll see you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Okay, well, you know, like Coach Stein from Arbor Prep said, Maya seems like a really good kid who's very humble. It will be interesting, too, to see how she develops over the next 2 years. One thing I wanted to point out, though, is how the coaching staff at Arbor Prep does a really nice job scheduling tough regular season opponents, despite the fact that they're a Division III school with less than 300 kids. Clarkston, Belleville, Huron, John Glenn, Brighton. You name it. It looks like they will play anyone at any time. And the strategy is obviously working. since Arbor Prep has been to the Final Four 5 straight years and even won a state title in 2016. And I think, you know, they actually had a chance probably to get back there this year too. They just rolled through their district in their regional semifinal game. So they do a great job over there. Before we go though, I wanted to revisit the topic of our last question for Maya, and that's kind of what's going on in the world right now. There's obviously a lot to unpack with the situation in Kenosha, Wisconsin, not to mention in other cities in the U.S. in recent weeks, along with the response we're seeing from professional athletes and coaches and even average citizens across the country. So, I mean, that said, I guess kind of curious, what's going through your mind or has caught your eye, you know, right now? Derek, you want to go first with that one?
Yeah. Obviously, I think, you know, there's a whole lot to think about and consider. I think the thing that stands out the most to me is it's alarming to me how far people will go to justify the actions of people like the cops in some of these situations, and like the kid from Illinois that went up there during the protests or the riots and had shot a few people. Like, just the lengths people go to make that, you know, okay or even glorify it is just really, it's scary. That's what stood out the most to me with these last couple of days. But yeah, it's a tough time.
That's
for sure.
That's part of the problem, or maybe the entire problem right there in a nutshell. Josh, what do you think?
You know, I'll come at it with from a different lens, I guess. I think as a parent right now, I'm really struggling because, you know, I not struggling, but I'm really being put to the test. I mean, I sat at home with my children the other night and we had to talk about why the NBA games and WNBA games and the Major League Baseball games are being canceled. We had to talk about, you know, the situation in Texas and Louisiana with the storm coming in and the danger those people are facing. And these are real discussions you got to have with your children about the world we live in. We talked about what was going on in Kenosha, and then we almost went back to the discussion in you know, Minneapolis and things like that. So I think that this is a real opportunity for families and parents to have real conversations with their children and make sure they get a message across to their kids that they feel is the right message. And it, you know, displays the values they have as a family. I feel like my wife and I have done a good job of having those conversations with our kids. I'm very uneasy to talk about it in public. And I say that because I feel as a public educator and a coach, there's people listening to this podcast right now that are waiting to pounce, like to find a way to say, oh, he can't say that he teaches or he can't say that he coaches. And I think that's my biggest concern. I feel like a lot of us are in that position. There's a lot of people that work in the public eye that, you know, there'll be a lot of people that might not agree with our views that are willing to come after us. So I think it's very important that we have the athletes standing up and we have the leaders standing up that have the voice and the platform. And I think it's important that in some way we get to a place in a time that we all feel like we can speak our mind without being held against us.
Yeah. I mean, that last one makes me think a lot because I'm really frustrated that more people don't want to talk about this and it drives me crazy. And I tend to judge people when they don't want to talk about it or they avoid it, let alone say stupid things about it. And I'm sure I've said some stupid things about it too, but I still think the conversation is healthy and it's the only way that we probably can get to a point where we're all comfortable. But here's what I got to say. You know, I've always viewed law enforcement as an ally. And really still do, to be honest. But that's coming from a 57-year-old white guy whose life experiences are much different than a person of color. I mean, I've been pulled over and treated very well. Heck, I've been pulled over by police officers and they saw who it was and laughed and said, you know, slow down, dummy, and laughed and walked away because I was the basketball coach in that town. Or I've been let off the hook because I was the Little League president in town and, you know, a call was made to another police officer and who kind of verified who I was and vouched for me. I mean, those kind of things that's the privilege that I have as a 57-year-old white guy or younger at that point. So I guess never, you know, that kind of stuff I never had to worry about. I've never had to worry about training my sons how to behave if they got pulled over by a cop. Heck, if anything, I, I sometimes want them to speak up for themselves. You know, we got African-American parents right now that are teaching their kids, you know, either comply or die. I mean, that's kind of the theme that they have to talk about in their kitchens and their living rooms. And it's, I can't relate to it, but I understand it. And it makes me just shake my head. And that's kind of where we are. To be honest, I do struggle with context. You know, when I see or hear about something that's messed up, I always want to learn all the facts before passing judgment. And that's just the way I go about all my thinking in life. It could be something in a classroom. It could be something, you know, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. It could be something wherever. It could be something on the basketball court. I always, you know, as a dean of students, I've got to kind of get evidence from both sides before I kind of judge anything. But I feel guilty doing that, that my mind goes in that direction, especially after I see, you know, the Jacob Blake video. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know what
other context that can
horrifying.
Be. But my mind does take me like, how are these policemen trained in that situation? It can't be to fire 7 bullets into a guy's back. You know, if you're going to use your gun, shoot the guy in the calf or something and wound him. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the training. I don't know the protocol for that. But, you know, it's, I mean, again, my mind does go to context, but I mean, people are criticized for doing that. But it's complicated right now. We have to do better as a society, and it's going to take a while. But I think what's going on is a step in the right direction, and the opportunity is there to make some significant change. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing with their very, you know, protest and comments and things that are going on. So it's going to be interesting to see where all this lands and what happens, I guess, in the next few weeks. But well, that on that note, that does it for this episode of Coach Speak. Derek, Josh, strong contributions once again. We also want to thank everyone for listening, and we look forward to next time when we connect with Ann Arbor Huron head coach Waleed Samaha for what promises to be a thought-provoking exchange. Until then, stay safe, mask up, and peace.